Happy Monday. Welcome to this Facebook Live video. My name is Drew Doherty with my brosif, John Harris. And then there's a voice you're going to hear from Jay McDevitt. He's shooting this and he's going to send in some of these questions because we want to hear from you. You've got questions about the draft, about the Texans, et cetera, et cetera. This is why we're here. You can't wait to do it, right?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, if you got questions about food, music, relationships, save those for another time.
Oh, well, we're... Hell, fire away. Conspiracy theories, those are cool too.
Conspiracy theories are a good one.
Yeah.
Really good one. Or what if questions?
Uh-huh.
See what Sports Illustrated did?
I love that.
That was a really good episode. That was a really good issue. You and I talked about that. But yeah, we'd like to focus on the draft, but you got questions.
And you're gonna hear another voice off camera from Jay McDevitt. He's the guy that's moderating this. He's also the guy that puts together all the awesome videos you see on HoustonTexans.com. Jay, say a little something.
Hey, congrats to Jacoyus Whitmill for being the first commenter.
Oh, that's pretty good. And that's funny. Jay's putting on a voice because he actually has a British accent, but he's talking in an American accent right now, so that's cool. But
that's good of him. I mean, he brought it out in Philadelphia while you guys were there, and I know that helped you guys get cheesesteaks.
So. Yes, it did. Yeah, hey, but before we take questions, John, this was an exciting draft because, if for no other reason, bombshell, first round, Texans move up and take Deshaun Watson. That was a guy... I got to give this guy credit. I'm not just saying it because we're on a video. He called it right. I mean, he called it right in his final mock draft. Said the Texans were going to take Deshaun Watson and
at 25.
That's what they did.
Yeah. I had it at 25, and
but you still had it.
I still did. I had
team,
it.
You know?
I had it. I got an A- on my draft apparently, so I was good. I earned a bronze medal from I can't remember who it was who gave me that, but I did. I had 9 of 32 going to the right spot, right team, etc. So I felt good about that. I felt good about my mock draft, and I had Deshaun in the last one for the Washington Post. So it worked out. Just I'm going to go with the quarterback here.
Sure.
And I down deep, I didn't think they would do it because I didn't think Deshaun would get to 25. But when I did my mock, I just kept ending up with him at 25. So I was like, they got to take him. But
yeah.
I think they made the move up. They saw the Bears make the move. They saw the Chiefs make the move and figured, hey, if we don't go now, we're not going to do it. And allegedly – the Cardinals, there was some angst in the draft room when the Texans went up one spot ahead of them to go get a quarterback, which I find interesting because then the Cardinals did not draft a quarterback.
Right.
So you don't know exactly what to believe unless they just loved one of those three guys and they didn't like any of the other guys. But it was a bombshell. I don't know what it was like for you guys in Philadelphia, but I know being at the draft party, we got that news as we were in a break.
Yeah.
That the Texans had traded up, not what the pick was. Once we heard that, we assumed it was going to be a quarterback. And I said on stage, I said, guys, if this isn't a quarterback, these people are about to bum rush the stage. We're out of here.
It was pretty crazy because we were in the media workroom, and we're about a minute ahead of the TV broadcast. So very matter-of-factly, the intercom, the guy on the intercom, he had no connection to the Texans. He just announces to the crowd in there, he says, the Texans are now on the clock. They've traded with Cleveland. And I was just like, so we knew, and you knew it was a quarterback.
Yeah, it had to at that point. All right, Jay, let's rock and roll.
Devin Latham, he wants to know if Derek Newton doesn't get healthy before the start of the season, who do you think will start at the tackle position?
It's a great question. I don't think
as of right now it's Chris Clark.
Yeah, it would be Chris Clark, Kendall Lamb.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously Julian Davenport's fourth round pick is going to come in here and compete. I still think, and I said this on draft day, I still think he's a bit of a project. Now, he's definitely moldable clay. This guy's an athlete with some good feet, some long arms. Those are things that you love to have in your offensive tackles. But he's going to have to transition from the left side to the right side, which is not as easy as it seems. And then he's going up in level from playing at Bucknell, where he's facing VMI and Lehigh and Lafayette, to facing Watt, Clowney, Merciless.
It's a big difference,
On top of the fact that he's going to be uncomfortable playing a different side. So from that standpoint, it's going to be a competition. I wouldn't be surprised if the Texans kick the tires on any other tackles that might be out there at some point. You know, with Quentin Dempsey a few years ago, they were able to find a two-year starting safety 3 weeks into training camp. So Chris Clark, Kendall Lamb, and Julian Davenport all be in that competition. Keep an eye on Lawrence Gibson, too, a guy we haven't talked too much about. He came to the team late, and I believe he was on the practice squad late last year. He's an athlete. I remember him being at Virginia Tech. He's a good moving athlete. I didn't think he was a great lineman at the time, but he's a really good athlete. So he can get a competition too. Look, you can't solve every single problem
with one draft
draft day, but I think you took steps towards doing so. You just got to solve that right tackle problem, issue, I guess, if you will, and then go from there. Look, the offensive line just as a whole, Drew, it's got to improve its play from last year. But I think Dwayne Bryant being 2 years removed from the injury, I thought near the end of the year, the playoffs in particular, his game stepped up. Greg Mantz gave you really good reps, but you get Nick Martin back too. I think the right guard position's got to step up, be it Jeff Allen or whatever you're going to do at guard there. And then the right tackle position's got to play better.
I think we got to keep in mind Kendall Lamb. He was your third tackle in jumbo packages. And I know that the Texans think very highly of him. But we got another question.
Israel wants to know, do we have a little thunder and lightning in the backfield now with Foreman joining Miller?
I think you do, John. I'm very intrigued by Deontay Foreman out of Texas and just down the road, Texas City. He was in Galveston on draft night. 2,000 yards, the Doak Walker Award winner, an All-American, all the stuff. Pretty exciting. I think if you have a guy like Foreman in the lineup in Mexico, you get that third and one, and you come away with a win against the Raiders. So he's going to do some different things than the stable of backs you have there now.
I think what's interesting, and this is one thing that I didn't even talk about, but it was something I thought about. In 2016, a lot of people talked about the assets of Lamar Miller when he came here. One of the best things he did, I thought, was he caught the ball out of the backfield pretty well. But then when he came here, he had to run the ball so often that it took him out of the passing game. And I think he's a really good receiver. So from that standpoint, I think that he can be part of the passing game. I think you could play both of them at the same time. And I think that's something that they may work towards, is that you keep Foreman in the backfield, or actually you put both in the backfield. You motion Lamar Miller out. You get him matched up on a linebacker in a passing game. And, man, now everybody wins at that point. So I like that aspect, that you can play both of them together. So when you do have a thunder and lightning situation, as long as the lightning gets the football in the backfield, that can be a good one, because you put both of them together. And I think that's something they may look to do with Lamar Miller and get him more involved in the passing game, so that he's not running, 350 times through the tackles. Maybe 40 to 45 of those can be outside, where he's getting away from all the trash and away from the mesh. So that might be something, and an advantage of having a big back like Foreman that can carry the load, that you can move Lamar Miller at that point. But again, I've said this a few times, just because Deontay Foreman's a big back and Alfred Blue is a big back, that, well, Foreman automatically replaces Blue. Look, Alfred Blue is really good on special teams.
I was going to say, special
teams alone.
Yeah.
He's not going away anytime soon.
That's almost why he was taken in the first place, with special teams.
And if Deontay Foreman can't go out there and pass protect on third down, he's not going to see the field.
And I thought it was very telling on Friday night when Bill O'Brien was meeting with the media. The thing he likes the most about Deontay Foreman, he runs well and runs with power between the tackles.
Yep.
So
absolutely. All right, Jay.
Daniel wants to know, which draftee is most likely to make an immediate impact?
Zach Cunningham, I would say.
I think Cunningham, absolutely.
The linebacker, second round, Vanderbilt.
Yeah, Cunningham.
Playmaker.
Yeah, I think so. I think Decoud can get on special teams immediately.
Think so?
I was watching a little bit more yesterday, and then today I watched a couple games. I was watching the Oregon Duck game today. He's fun to watch. He likened himself when he talked to us after the draft to Richard Sherman, and you could see the traits of Sherman. I think Sherman is probably a little bit, I say build-wise, they're probably about the same build, but really, really fun to watch as a corner. Just doesn't back down, really physical. The length.
He's a fifth-rounder from Oregon State.
Tristan Decoud, I mean, the length. And plus, his story is amazing. But I think he's got an opportunity to definitely get in on special teams. If you're looking for either the offensive lineman to jump into the lineup right away, that's wishful thinking. But I think that I'm with you. I think Zach Cunningham ends up being a factor right away. And don't count out Carlos Watkins.
Watkins.
One of the things that Carlos Watkins does, maybe better than anybody I saw in college football last year, was his ability to move up down the line of scrimmage. But on third downs, they would leave three defense linemen on the field. That was it at Clemson. And Watkins would rush over the center. And he would get matched up one-on-one in the center and destroy these guys.
Got a lot of pressure on the quarterback from the interior of the defensive line. That's not common.
That's something that you can utilize him in the middle to do. And I know you've got the three guys, Merciless, Clowney, Watt, you want to keep on the field. But if you can scheme up where Watkins is over the center, and then, it's third and five, and you're still leery of run, you could put a big guy over the center that still has some good pass rush. You could put him next to Covington. You got two really good interior rushers. Heck, Reeder is a pretty good interior pass rusher. It just adds to your mix. But to me, it also there's something that the addition of Watkins and Cunningham told me, but I don't know that I can give it away. I'm like sworn to secrecy. No, it's only my thought on this. But again, I just in general, I think it speaks to the versatility of this defense. And I've said this before. What? And I asked this question: what's the base defense for the Texans? most people say, oh, it's a 3-4. Be careful, because a lot of times you put base defense, it'll say multiple. And those two guys show you that it might be more multiple than you think.
What if put Watkins on the inside next to Watt? Or, hey, instead of Watt, Clowney.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, that's the stuff that
there's
we see.
There's a lot of different things that
those
you
guys
can do.
Moved all like salt and pepper shakers.
Heck, you could put it. I mean, Heath, Kamalu, Covington, sure. Reader, Watkins. They sort of become interchangeable
Whitney.
At a number of different spots on the interior. So yeah. They need. And it's funny because Friday night I was driving home,
and I'm not saying every down. I'm saying
no.
Like goofy plays
but
here and there.
That's the whole point. You can't be playing checkers and everybody's playing chess.
Yeah, I'm not saying Whitney Mercilus plays interior defensive line.
No, but to your point, they can move him inside if they want to. But you have to be playing chess better than everybody else. Well, these chess pieces allow you to do that.
Yeah.
Some are still playing checkers. The Texans are playing chess and then some, and they just add another couple of chess pieces. That's the way I look at it. But to my point, on Friday night I had a conversation with Andre Ware on the way home, and we were talking. He said, is Vince going to really – is he truly retired? And I said, I think so. And he said, we got to do something about that.
Yeah.
Next day, Carlos Watkins. All right, Jay.
Michael wants to know, when do the Texans address the safety position?
Oh, that's a good question. You lose Quentin Demps in free agency. There's been speculation out there that Kareem Jackson's going to play safety, but really, the Texans have a lot of defensive backs, and they're a nickel dime a whole lot of the time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, good question about, no, they didn't draft a safety per se,
right.
But there's guys that can play that safety position, can get on the field, and you're going to see some stuff from Andre Howell.
Yeah, no doubt. I think if you think of the guys that are coming back, Andre Howell, Corey Moore, those guys got a lot of experience last year.
Plus Drummond.
Then you got Curtis Drummond coming back off injury, KJ Dillon coming back off injury. You got Eddie Pleasant, who I think is the consummate dime linebacker, has really found a nice niche and role on this team. So you've got those guys. I go back to the Quentin Demps example. They found him in the third week of training camp. Maybe there are some guys that they're looking at that are on the street. Can't think of the top of my head who they might be, but they might be looking at that and give these guys an opportunity. I've always said I love Curtis Drummond as a football player. Love him. KJ Dillon's a hitter. So if you get both of them back healthy, let them come back. And one guy we always forget about, unfortunately, because of injury, is Lonnie Ballantyne.
Yeah.
If Lonnie could get on the field consistently, I think we'd see that guy at 6'3", 215, that guy would be the prototype safety to come up and smash people and cover backs out of the backfield, things like that. All right, Jay, next one.
Daniel Fuentes wants to know, do you see Rick Smith recovering a second-round pick before next year's draft?
Yeah, I said it to Drew before he started. I think so, absolutely. Because Drew is
how do you do that, though? How do you do that?
Well, I think you've got a number
This is like a pie in the sky. Not pie in the sky, but this is a different scenario.
I understand. I think there are two ways you can do it. Number one, you're going to have comp picks. You're going to have multiple comp picks, so you get one in the third. I think you get one in the sixth. So you can package those and move up into the second round. I think the good thing, if your quarterback situation works itself out with Savage and or Watson, however you do it, you don't have to get a quarterback next year. But what's going to happen is, because there are a lot of quarterbacks, that's going to push good players down into other rounds. And so if you can get into the second round, you'll end up getting a good player. But I think you can do it two ways. Number one, you can trade picks. You can swap. You can combine your threes to move up. You can give a three and a six to move up. You can give a third and a future third to move up in the second round. It's going to be tough to get in the first round. But the other thing you can do is you might trade a player.
Yeah.
You may trade an actual player on the roster right now. You saw the Vikings have to trade for Sam Bradford at some point, and the Eagles ended up getting a first-round pick back.
Yeah.
Even though they spent picks to get Carson Wentz, they got a first-round pick, and that first-round pick turned into Derek Barnett. So I'm not saying that they're going to trade a quarterback, Savage or Watson or whatever, but you can trade a player and get picks back. So that's the other way you can do it. So I would think they're going to do whatever possible to get back into, at the minimum, early day two. I don't know if they can get back into day one, but they got some time to work. Did you ever think they would trade Brock Osweiler?
Well, I was going to say,
no.
This is ultimately it's a creative front office, because look at you've been able to get compensation via trade, whether it's a draft pick or player, for the following: Matt Schaub, TJ Yates, Case Keenum, Ryan Fitzpatrick, and now Brock Osweiler. And those were all five guys that most assumed were going to get cut.
Yep.
They're going to be released. And you got Akeem Dent for Yates and then draft picks for all the others.
Yeah.
So don't roll that out. I don't think you're going to trade any of these three quarterbacks that are on the roster right now, but there's a lot of other positions on the roster.
Yep, no doubt. Jay, next question.
You got compensation for Kari Lee, for goodness sakes.
I know.
Who?
And if you're wondering, on that Brock Osweiler deal, they got a fourth back.
Yep.
That fourth was for Julian Davenport. Jay.
Speaking of which, Jonathan Lovell says, my boy Drew, tell us about Davenport.
All right, and that was probably in all caps, but Julian Davenport.
How did you know that was all caps?
Because Jonathan chimes in to hear Drew, and I appreciate him. He thought I would never answer him, and then I did ever since. So I like hearing from Jonathan.
So do we have to talk in all caps?
No.
Julian Davenport will be a project with Bear. No.
Well, the first thing that everyone talks about with Davenport, John, is his arms. He had the longest wingspan, so fingertip to fingertip in the draft. So he's got long arms. Well, who the heck cares about long arms, John? Explain why for a tackle.
Well, the reason for a tackle with long arms is just keeping pass rushers essentially away. The shorter your arms are, the more they get into your body and the more the pass rusher can control you. But if you got long arms to keep that guy out away from you, then he can't use his hands and his technique to get into your body and make things more difficult
for
you.
So it's one good physical building block for an offensive tackle.
Right.
He's got other stuff he has.
Right, absolutely. Now, he's a pretty good athlete. He plays a little tall. When I mean he plays tall, is he doesn't bend at the knees like he can. And so sometimes when he gets those arms extended, if he gets a good pass rush move or a nice swipe move and a guy gets his arms off of him, he'll tend to lunge or overextend. Yeah. He needs to bend his knees a little bit and sit back and upright a little bit. But technique-wise, he's not bad. But look, we talked about this earlier. He's going from left side to the right side. Mm-hmm. And now he's going from VMI, Lehigh, and Lafayette to facing Watt, Clowney, Justin Houston, Merciless, and whoever else he's going to face this year. So he's going to be uncomfortable for a little while. I would love to see him in training camp win the job. I mean, that would be fantastic. Like, this is great. Wow. Look at him play. But I highly doubt that's going to happen. So I think he's a little bit of a project, but.
But it's a guy they think
it's moldable
very
clay.
Well of for yes. down the line, which is, I mean, it would be nice, yeah, if he came right out of the gate and started. But if you're getting a great player for the course of 4, 5, 6 years.
That's all that matters.
Then you've won.
That's all that matters. And you're going to get a guy that you can work with for the next few years. And that's really what you want. All right, Jay.
What's next for these guys?
Oh, for the rookies?
Yeah.
Okay, so they're probably back home right now. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of next week, they start up rookie camp. So they'll probably get in the building early next week.
Yeah, early.
Get acclimated. They'll go through just kind of this is in the building, and you live by this in Houston, and da-da-da-da-da, because they're coming from all over the nation. And I don't know how many, you know, we're talking to a wide range of people out there as far as age. Some of you are in school right now watching this in class. Come on, that's not good. You should be paying attention to your teacher. But nevertheless, thank you for watching us.
Some
of you are older, you know, and you're retired, and then there's everything in between. But remember back to when you just got out of college. Yeah. You know a lot of stuff, but you don't know everything, and you go to a new city. So there's some of that. But they'll actually hit the field at the end of next week, Friday and Saturday.
Yeah, rookie minicamp. Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah.
We just can't be out there
not
for Sunday.
Not this Friday, Saturday, Sunday, but the next Friday, Saturday.
I mean, their heads are going to be spinning for a while. Mm-hmm. But the blue lockers will be out. That'll be good. All right, Jay.
Will Coach O'Brien have to change his coaching style when it comes to Watson? That's from Jesse Perez.
Well.
No.
He's not changing.
No.
No, listen.
But I think, wouldn't you say this, his coaching style is maybe not, it doesn't have the correct perception out there by, I guess, the bulk of people. Like, he doesn't just come into the quarterback room and scream and yell at people all the time.
Right.
There's a different part of Bill O'Brien that we don't see.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question with that. I think a lot has been made of what people see, have seen on Hard Knocks,
right.
Those kind of things. But listen, let's put this in perspective. Sean Watson grew up without a father. He and his mom had four kids, single mom raising four kids. That family went through more adversity then Deshaun's going to experience with Bill O'Brien yelling at him.
Yeah.
Bill O'Brien yelling at him is not going to faze him. I mean, just let's be honest about it. He's not going to be fazed by that. So I think, yes, every coach has to learn how to deal with his quarterback, and every quarterback has to learn how to deal with his coach. But in the grand scheme of things.
The challenge is Deshaun Watson seen in life.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And when you think about Tom Savage and Deshaun Watson, they've had challenges in different ways. Mm-hmm. Tom left Rutgers on his own accord because he felt like he should have been the starter, and then he went on a 1,000-day odyssey, worked some construction, realized he wanted to get back into football, and then he did, and he got here. He's had to deal with some injuries. Nothing's going to faze him at this point.
Right.
Same with Deshaun. He's been much more ballyhooed in some sense and had more success, But when it comes to life's adversity, he's been able to deal with that. I don't think Deshaun and Tom Savage are going to be fazed by anything Coach Bill O'Brien has to throw at them or Sean Ryan. He's not. They're not going to be fazed. And I think the players in the locker room will respond to those guys and to their actions. I don't fret about that whatsoever. Now, Coach O'Brien with us, that's a different story. He'd get on our case all the
time.
He's
actually good to us.
Yeah, he's great to us. All right, Jay, next one.
How could the playbook change with Watson added?
How could the playbook change with Watson added?
Doesn't change initially.
Yeah, I don't think it changes a whole heck of a lot. I do think that there are some things that they may put in for Deshaun, maybe some more not RPO stuff. What I mean by RPO is run pass option. There's a lot of stuff you can do in college you can't do in the NFL because linemen can go 3 yards downfield. So in college, you can fake a run or give on a run. It's a run pass option. You can have a run and have a pass route going on, and you read the linebacker, and if the linebacker bites in the run, you pull it and throw it because the lineman is not going to be beyond 3 yards at that point. So you can do that. In the NFL, you can only go 1 yard. So you can't run quite like that, but you can do some of the same things. It just may be more predetermined what you're going to do. You're going to fake the run and then throw. As opposed to in college, what he was doing was reading whether he should give it or not and reading that linebacker and then throwing. So you might do some of those things. But
O'Brien was pretty upfront Thursday night saying Tom Savage is the starter.
Yeah.
So if that's the case, Watson's coming in to learn, and Watson's going to learn the playbook that's there.
Sure.
You know, and it's like John said, they might spice in stuff here and there. Eventually, that'll be good for Deshaun Watson, but you're not going to see that for Tom Savage.
Every quarterback that they've had here, and you think about it, they've all been a little different.
Right.
Every single one of them was given something in the offense that was uniquely theirs. A couple plays here that were just, you know, you think about Case Keenum being in there. They did some of that stuff with Case, where they would put him in shotgun, put a back next to him, ride him through, throw play action. They did some of those things for Case in particular, so he had some open windows to throw through at 6 foot. Those might be some of the things that they'll want to sit down with Deshaun and say, hey, what are some of the things that you like to do? And I'm sure they've already talked about that. In that three-hour meeting that they had, I'm sure that came up. So there will be some things specifically for Tom. There will be some things specifically for Deshaun. But the scheme's not changing, guys. The scheme has answers. It just has to be executed, and I think it will this year.
Last question here before we go into your final points, but we have a lot of people talking about the offensive line. George Davenport points out that Nick Martin at center could be huge this year returning.
That's right. That's going to raise the level of competition at the center guard guard spot.
Well, here's the question to me. Not Nick Martin, but Greg Mantz was very good last year. Greg Mantz was excellent. So how do you figure this all out with that in mind, that one of – you could argue that Greg Mantz was maybe your second most consistent lineman behind Duane Brown. Do you want to take him out of the lineup? That to me ends up being a massive question that we've got to figure out at the Greenbrier. How do you fit it all together? I think, to me, Duane and X at left guard and left center, I think locked in. I think Xavier showed at the end of the year he's ready to take that next step, and I really hope it happens for X, and I think it's going to. Center going the other way, I think there are guys you can look at. Greg Mantz, I thought, was very good. But Nick Martin's going to find a way on this offensive line. I don't know whether it's at guard. I don't know whether it's center. If they move Mantz to guard, I don't know. They did it with Ben Jones, where Ben played guard and then moved over to his natural position as center. Maybe Mantz moves to guard. Maybe Mantz stays at center. Maybe Nick Martin moves to guard. I don't know. They've at least got some guys on the interior to figure it out, and I think that's why they didn't draft the guard. They did draft the center in Kyle Fuller. He could probably play any position. They also drafted him in the 7th round, too, and I think part of that was just because of value.
Depth, yeah, value. And you kind of have to presume that Jeff Allen would play a little bit better this year.
Right.
Because he was new to the offense last year.
He's banged up early.
Banged up early. So he gets healthy. He gets a little bit more time in the system. There's probably a natural improvement on his part, which is only a good thing for this line because, it's like you said, more competition. Three main guys for two spots. That's a good problem to have. Not problem, but question to answer.
You just brought this up, too, and I'll mention this. You said the name Jeff Allen, and it made me think. You know, Jeff Allen played tackle in college. Mm-hmm. Jeff Allen did play tackle with the Kansas City Chiefs a little bit. Push came to shove, and you felt like you needed to get the five best linemen out there. Maybe Allen moves out the right tackle. Maybe you put Nick or Greg Mantz at guard, and the other one plays center.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I don't know. That's just something I thought about.
Plus, he played left guard his last couple seasons, I believe, with the Chiefs.
Yeah,
he was playing right guard last year with
Cousins. I think Jeff is a natural guard. Don't get me wrong. I think he's a natural guard. But he does have tackle experience. It is something maybe they'll look at. I think that's what OTAs are going to be about. Now, they're not going to hit, but you can see how things kind of come together, how they communicate, how it fits. Then when you get to the training camp, you kind of try it on for size. But the more I think about it, maybe that's one thing they're going to take a look at. Maybe that's the way that you get all those, that five up front that you want. You let Kendall Lamb get the competition, Chris Clark get back in it, et cetera. So we'll see. We'll start to see them in OTAs in a couple of weeks and see what it all looks like when it comes together. And then we'll get up to the Greenbrier and let them hit and compete.
It's cool with me. It's cool with you. Thanks for watching this. I think ultimately, John, we're going to wait and see on Deshaun Watson. You know, this year is a learning year. Your probably most immediate impacts out of this draft are your second, third, and your fifth rounder in Carlos Watkins. And then you've got some developmental in Julian. And then you like a lot of special teams for what you've seen out of Decoud, Trustin Decoud.
Yeah, I think he's going to run out of special teams for sure. At a minimum, I think that's what he's going to do. But, you know, Texans with a 6'2", 205-pound, long corner, competitive, he'll get after it. I don't think there's any question. And here's the thing. In his mind, he's coming here to play.
Yeah.
He's not coming in here to sit. Now, he's going to be deferential to the vets, but he's not coming to sit. He's going to come to compete and play, and that's the kind of guy that you want, especially at that position. Confident, get up in your face, talk trash, and he'll be around the football. There's no doubt about that. I think he's going to at least be a factor on special teams for sure.
Good stuff. Well, you're always a factor.
Thank you, man.
Good job.
You too.
Thank you for watching. We'll see you next time. And thank you to Jay McDevitt and his British accent for not coming out.